pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Thank you very, very much for listening. We do appreciate it. Still to come on the program in about half hour from now. Congressman Mo Brooks in the 5th Congressional District, a pre-taped interview, but I got to sit down with him up in the Shoals area over the weekend, and we talked about a Senate run, and we talked about some other things, but I got a one-on-one. It's always good to do these things in person when you can. So we made a trip down to the Shoals from Nashville and sat down with Congressman Robert Aderholt, who you heard earlier on the program, and then Congressman Brooks, who you're about to hear here in just a little bit. So please stick around for that. Joining us now, a gentleman, I'm about to go through his district later today on my way to Tallahassee, Florida, but it represents folks in Pike County, parts of Dale County. State Representative Wes Allen joins us on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
Doing well, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on the program.
Thanks for taking time. We do appreciate it. Let's get right into it. First off, gotten a lot of press from this lately, but you and Senator Shelnut in the upper chamber there in Montgomery in the State House, looking at against the Vulnerable Child Compassion and Protection Act, or a companion bill of the sort, the idea that you're taking minors and parents are making decisions that could impact them for the rest of their lives. Obviously, a very passionate issue for a lot of people on both sides of this. But talk about the aims of this and why this is why you see this as an important issue.
Well, yeah, thanks for asking, Jeff. It is an important issue, and it has garnered some headlines, and it does get a lot of attention. But it is an important issue, and it deals with the minors and protecting our children. And, this transgender issue is one we've seen a lot lately, more and more over the last couple of years. And, I was really shocked when I found out that the administration of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones were being was going on in the state of Alabama on minors, and of course that's very different than adults making that decision on their own. And we just want to make sure that we protect these kids, because these drugs are very, very powerful. They're being used off-label, we don't fully know all of the long-term ramifications and side effects of these powerful drugs when they're used to block puberty on kids as, 11, 12, 13 years old that may be suffering from gender dysphoria, which is a psychological problem. And, we just want to make sure we press the pause button, make sure that the minors can't be administered these powerful drugs, get them some mental health care that they need from professionals, and let them work through this issue, because the studies have shown and suggested that 80 to 95% of kids that are given loving care and some mental health therapy, they grow out of that and the transgender issue and the confusion and the gender dysphoria, and come to accept the body and come to accept who God made them.
Representative, has this become something that we're having to deal with more and more? I guess, if you asked me if this was on the top 10 pressing needs 10 years ago, I would have said, no, that this has to be an anomaly. But I don't know, as cultures change, as technology improves, as we make advances in some of these medicines, that now we're in a position to where the state government has to catch up to where the times are.
Yeah, it's this is a very complex issue, and we heard very passionate testimony on both sides of the issue in the House Judiciary Committee, and of course Senator Shelnut has the companion bill upstairs, and he got it out of health and off the Senate floor, and it has come down to the House, and so we'll be having a hearing on that soon in the House Health Committee on his bill, it's. Children just don't have the wisdom. They haven't developed the maturity to make these decisions that will affect them, potentially for a lifetime. And that's what we want to make sure we do, protect their bodies. At the same time, make sure that they get the care that they need mentally to deal with these issues. And, you know, if they get to adulthood and want to make these decisions, you know, that's their choice. But this is really about protecting kids.
Where are we at? You say it's a House Health Committee. Do you have any idea of a timeline? Are there identical bills, I assume? What are the what's the outlook?
Well, the outlook's very good. We feel very confident that we're going to get final passage on it. So we'll see. That, you know, there's been a public hearing called on it in the House Health Committee for this week. So, you know, it'll probably be another week before it's voted on out of the House Health Committee. But we feel confident that we can get this final passage and get it to the governor's desk.
Joined by State Representative Wes Allen here on the program. A lot of people probably don't know this. You come Pike County, where you served as the probate judge there. And this has been a very hot topic here in the last week or so. Secretary of State John Merrill has been, you know, flirting with the idea of eliminating the excuse requirement for absentee voting. And while there may be some merit to that, you know, I know a lot of people disagree with that idea, but some say it has some positives, whatever you may think. I wanted to get you to talk about this. Absentee voting, to me, in the state, it's been a problem that hasn't been fully dealt with for decades and decades and decades. Whenever there is some criminal prosecution or something of that nature because of voter fraud, there's a high likelihood it involves the absentee balloting process. Do you think that's a fair assessment of kind of where we are with absentee balloting in Alabama?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that what we witnessed in November around the country and other states, chaos and confusion was introduced by mail-in balloting and all of the no-excuse absentees and all the things that we saw, you know, to our neighboring state right there in Georgia and Pennsylvania and the upper Midwest. What we don't need to do as a state is to start passing legislation and policy that's going to weaken election integrity, and we need to make sure that we maintain our good election system that we have in our state. As a former probate judge who has administered election laws, I was a probate judge for right at 10 years. We did everything from I remember handling the recount for Robert Bentley and Tim James, and fixing machines and training poll workers, traveling to the precinct. I mean, we've done it all as a probate judge and work alongside great circuit clerks and sheriffs and the poll workers and board of registrars. And those local elected officials really administer and do the hard and heavy lifting when it comes to administering election law. And Alabama does a very good job. And one of the things that we got to make sure we do is to not weaken our election law and introduce something that's going to bring in that chaos and confusion that we saw in other states.
But it's a form of voting that seems to be very, it has a tendency to be misused or abused. And I guess the idea is, while we may have weathered a difficult time with COVID-19 and have to expand the ability to make absentee voting a something that people can use, worried about the pandemic, I don't see where that should give us a license to, maybe I'm wrong, we haven't fully fixed this enough to the point where we should really proliferate absentee voting in Alabama yet.
No, I agree with you. You know, I'm not a fan of no excuse absentee voting. I don't think we need to be doing that. And it's the circuit clerks administer, and the absentee election managers administer this in all 67 counties. The absentee law, that is, and they do a very good job with it. They didn't want to see, as an association, they didn't want to see the bill that we took up several weeks ago that was going to allow for no excuse absentee voting in the state. So, you know, like I said, it's when you see shenanigans kind of go on in elections, the first place you're going to normally see it, and the first prosecutions that you see is dealing with absentee balloting, absentee voting. So, you know, like I said before, we don't need to weaken our election law and allow any kind of chaos to creep in.
And you know, every now and then you'll have a weird election where, and a couple of years ago there was two probate judge races, one in Wilcox County, one in Perry County, I believe. And on the Democrat side, you had like really low turnout on the Republican side because there had been Republicans there. But on the Democrat side, you had pretty good turnout, but they had like 70-something percent of the ballots cast were absentee ballots. And it's when you see stuff like that, it makes you wonder, is there work to be done in this state trying to crack down on ballot harvesting or, you know, something that may raise a red flag? I mean, it doesn't seem like we've ever, as a state, have fully gotten our grasp of that problem.
Well, certainly. I think, you know, that does certainly raise a red flag, and it makes our antennas run up when we see stuff like that. And, you know, one bill that I've introduced, and we got it out of committee last week, and it's awaiting full passages, the bill to ban curbside voting. And, you know, the making sure the chain of custody for the ballots is really important, Jeff. And you know, the ballots leaving, the thought of ballots, you know, leaving the precincts, the local precincts, to go out to the curb. You know, you just got to make sure that when, Jeff Ford to pull up and want to vote curbside, you got to make sure that's Jeff signing the sheet to say who he is, present his ID, and so forth. So that, you know, that bill is just a way to strengthen our elections and to make sure that there's not any not anything that's going to weaken what we already do. And I think it stands a very good chance of passing, and we're looking forward to getting it on the House floor and getting it up to the Senate.
In just a couple more minutes here, beyond banning curbside voting, which shouldn't be banned because it wasn't legal in the first place, but you got to do what you got to do because of what a Jefferson County judge tried to do. But what else needs to be done with these, you know, looking back at 2020 with elections? I know that there was this incentivizing churches to get their parishioners out to vote and where they were able to monetize each person that participates in an election, your colleague Jamie Keel has a bill to try to stop that. There are things the legislature needs to do to shore up election integrity in Alabama.
Yeah, Jamie Keel's, Representative Keel's bill is very important. We saw that. You mentioned those things that happened in the last election, but, you know, he's got a good one, and it got out of committee last week as well, and you know, it would prohibit a person from promising prior to an election to make a payment after the election to an individual or an entity on a per voter basis. So I would encourage people to go read that. It's a very solid piece of legislation, like you said, Jeff, that would make sure we need to tighten things up where some things can kind of go kind of off the rails there. So, but he's got a good piece of legislation. Looking forward to passing it.
And finally, something we haven't talked about, but we have been keeping track of, Confucius Institute's Troy University and the one up in Huntsville, Alabama, A&M's campus. Have you had any progress on that effort, getting those, you know, the Confucius Institutes funded by the Chinese government? A lot of questions are, why do we have Chinese government-funded entities on our public school campuses? But have you got any progress on remedying that situation?
Well, Representative Tommy Haynes has the legislation to take care of those Confucius Institutes on our publicly funded universities here, the two in our state. And I don't know where that stands right now, off the top of my head, Jeff. I don't know if he's still awaiting committee action on committee approval on his bill. But you know, if that bill gets to the floor, I'll be supporting it.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but we thank you for your time this morning. Let's talk again real soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for taking time. That was Representative Wes Allen of Troy. We got to get a timeout in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Porsche Show on FM Talk 106.5.